The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. We spent a lot of the first hour talking about Arkansas and Florida's win already in the NCAA basketball tournament. Tennessee plays at the bottom of the hour. Ohio State struggling down at half against ORU. We'll update you on that through afternoon and, of course, introduce your phone calls as well. A lot of camps have either opened or will be opening today, including Alabama. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute with Barrett Salee. We're an hour away from Nate Oates joining us live from Indianapolis. Let's get back to the calls. And Tiffany is up next. Hello, Tiffany. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey.
Mr. Paul, I always thought you were really funny, and I love your show.
Thank you so much.
I am actually a Georgia girl, but I'm a Florida fan. I'm a Florida Gator fan. I support them like crazy.
Well, that is great. I bet you're happy today.
I am. It was really scary, but Castleton showed up, and he was on fire.
Yeah, no, I think if the Gators decided, you know what, we're going to create anxiety, angst, heart palpitations, we'll do it. The end of the regular regulation was about as scary as I've ever seen. I mean, there was just no chance Florida could lose that game, and the next thing you know, it's tied.
I know. I was like, no! I was like screaming in my living room, like, no, this could not be happening right now. So, Mr. Paul, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, I've seen you in Georgia little gold tacky little thing there. You think you can give us some orange and blue for me?
Yeah, that was done. I'm trying to remember. I guess I was in Athens. I've done the Florida routine. I just don't. For some reason, it may not be in the opening, but we can take care of that. I think one time Tiffany, I predicted Florida to lose to Tennessee one time, and they won, of course. And I think
yes.
I had to wear a.
I think I
opened the show on that following Monday wearing a Florida Gator jersey. I don't remember whose jersey it was, but I had one on.
I have to say that I was very proud of my boys in this football year because they did fight Alabama.
They did. That was a great game.
In that SEC game.
No, you're
yes,
correct
sir.
About that. Nobody played Alabama better.
Thank you.
Well, Tiffany, you
Thank
call
you
back again. You were a lot of fun to talk to. Let's talk soon.
Yes, go Gators. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you. Tiffany, excited about the Gators, and why not? I mean, this was, as we mentioned earlier, and I don't think you can mention this enough, in an era when there's just so many coaches who more represent the underbelly of the industry, Mike White stands at the top when it comes to class and integrity, and I think he deserves a tremendous applause for sitting Omar Payne today. Didn't have to do it, could have ignored it. Could have just gone right along, but he did the right thing, and I think that is commendable. Let's get John Fulkerson is not going to play. We asked Bradshaw about this a few minutes ago. It was hard for me to imagine him playing, and he's not going to. I mean, first of all, the fact that he's up there is interesting. I'm sure he wanted to give it every possible effort, but considering what he went through. Just my opinion. I don't have a medical degree. I think he would have been just. I'm trying to think of the charitable word to use here, but it would have really been terrible for him to have played, considering. I think he needs some more time. I'm glad that they gave it a shot. This is the NCAA tournament. I hope the Vols are around next weekend, and hopefully he will be back. But I'm sure they gave it every available possibility, but. When you get a concussion, and when you consider what happened to his face, that would have been a very dangerous decision to make. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Clark, who is up next. Hey, Clark, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I'm excited to be on the show.
Well, thank
got
you.
In on the first call today, so really great show, and. I'm pleased to see the response on the suspension for the game of the Florida player. You know, there was a caller the other day that I was really perplexed about because he was all about suspending the guy and that the commissioner ought to be doing something about that. But I think it was the coach's place to step up and put the discipline in place for that. And I'm glad to see that he did.
Well, I think this is the right way to do it in-house. And I'm sure this decision was made days ago. And I don't know this. I'm just not like I have any inside information. But I would think that Mike White, through the right channels, let everybody know that this is going to happen. Nobody needs to make a grand statement. We will take care of it internally.
Yeah, absolutely right. He did the right thing, and I do applaud him for that. It's the coach's responsibility to demand that discipline of his team and demonstrate that that's just not acceptable.
Well, otherwise, Clark, it looks like the coach does not have control of the team. It's his decision whether you're playing in a little league team or a professional team. The coach should have the right. When somebody else intervenes, it looks like you wouldn't do it. And Mike White, I think, clearly understood it was wrong. And I'm willing to guess that he made this decision before he left Nashville last Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely correct. And I appreciate you addressing the issue. Thanks for my call.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm sure had they lost a game, some fans who have been after Mike White for some time would have come down on him. There's no debating this, I don't think. He is the person that needs to take control, and I think this is a much stronger message this way. Nobody told him he had to do it. He just did it because it was the right thing to do. Red Dog is up next.
Hey Paul, how's it going?
Red Dog?
Hey Dog, yeah, you there?
I am, of course, yes.
I've got all my own gear on for tomorrow. I'm rooting for Patino. You know me. I've always liked Patino, and I it's been a long time since Alabama's won the NCAA, so, you know, I really think Iowa's got a good shot. What about you? I mean, you're rooting for them, right? You're from New York.
I wouldn't root for Rick Pitino if he was coaching against the Russians.
but Iowa's from New – you're from Ithaca, right?
In fact, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. What do you think about Muschamp in Athens? I mean, if we could get Bobo back in Athens, we'd have a dream team. Unfortunately, he went to Auburn, which was a huge mistake. But if we can get Muschamp, we get Bobo back, I mean, we'd have a dream team. I don't know if we could beat Saban. But we'd have the dream team.
Red Dog, what have you seen a Muschamp that so impresses you these days?
His sideline behavior.
Hmm.
He makes me excited.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear something does.
He makes. Hey, everybody in the – I know it's not on the Feinbaum show, but everybody else this year is thinking we're going to be the breakthrough team. I know you don't want to hear that. I know it's Alabama bias. I don't know. I say it every year, but I'm just telling you, I keep reading on ESPN that it may be our breakthrough year. I don't think so. JT Daniels, who knows? But, you know, Saban keeps pulling out recruiting. Will he ever retire, or is it just me? Can he just retire, please, and move to his Lake Hartwell house in Georgia?
I thought, Red Dog, you had written him off a couple of years ago when Kirby was taking the whole conference by storm. Anyway, I must have misunderstood. We will take a break. More to come. We will talk a little bit about college football. Basketball is the theme of the day, but so is football. Camps are opening, and we are not going to ignore that subject. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. Barrett Slee is joining us now, and we'll get a look at SEC spring football as it is opening all over the place, including Alabama. Barrett, good to have you on. It's been a while. I know you've been watching basketball with the rest of us, but let's chisel down on some football and tell us the things that you are keeping your eye on as we all turn our heads soon, not quite yet, but soon to the gridiron.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having me on. I do think that Alabama, you know, I think we all sort of assume that Nick Saban's going to replace five-star stud with five-star stud, and he does. I mean, that there's no questioning that. But I can't remember a year where they lose the Heisman Trophy winner, the best all-purpose player in the country, a Heisman Trophy finalist at quarterback, the player who finished fifth in the Heisman Trophy voting at running back, the Outland Trophy winner at tackle, and the Remington Trophy winner at center. Like, I cannot remember that kind of elite turnover. I think for what we can glean from Tuscaloosa, which, I mean, honestly, at this point is not much because everything's shut down and no coaches let anybody in, but just what the offense looks like. Because not only do you lose all those players, but you lose the Broyles Award winner as Steve Sarkisian. So, I'm excited to see what that offense looks like, what Bill O'Brien does, what Bryce Young looks like, how they change the look and feel of it. Just because it's almost like everything got wiped away, and you're starting with a clean slate. And you know that's bad because Alabama was so good offensively, but you know in reality it just might be different. Which if you're an Alabama fan, if different still works, then you're doing all right.
We know Alabama will be a factor. Whether they can overcome all that is certainly a storyline for the fall. But Georgia seems to be getting all the oxygen in the spring. This is not a new story, Barry. You live in Georgia. But is this legit, or is this just the band playing the same old tune?
I think it's legit. Not necessarily to say that you know Georgia deserves to be with Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State in that discussion, but one step down and not a big step down, yeah, that's exactly where Georgia should be. Because you look at just overall talent, they are in the most recent team talent rankings in 24/7 sports. They're the top most talented team in the country. They are number one in the 24/7 team talent rankings. A lot of those guys are coming back. A lot of those guys came back with purpose, with the hashtag unfinished business. Now, how much does a hashtag really matter in the grand scheme of things? Not really, but we saw in 2018 with Clemson, you know, first, second round players decide to come back on a mission, and that mission was accomplished with a national championship. And on top of that, you saw what the offense looked like with JT Daniels. Clearly that's going to continue with a lot of those pieces still in place. And then defensively, you know what you're getting because Georgia's defense is just filthy good, especially when you factor in some of the younger players who might burst onto the scene like Nolan and some other guys. So, yeah, I think it's legit. You know, not necessarily to elevate them to, you know, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama status preseason. Could they win the national title? Yeah, I can absolutely see this Georgia team being a national championship caliber team.
Barrett is back as we had a chance to update everybody. Barrett, you were talking about LSU when we lost you. So which one is it going to be, sink or swim?
I think it's going to be more sync. Not to say that they're going to just suffer a 3-9 disaster like Gene Chizik did in his 2 years after his national championship, but there's so many variables with you don't know what you're getting at quarterback with a healthy Miles Brennan. They'd be fine. We don't know how healthy he's going to be. They lost so much defensively 2 years ago. Younger players played this year, but you know, did they really come of age? Because that defense was a hot mess at times last season. So it's hard to trust them. I do think they're going to be pretty fragile. So if things go right, they can ride that wave and you know, ride it potentially to Atlanta. But if things go south, I think they're going to go south in a hurry. I don't think there's going to be a middle ground for LSU this year.
What is the key for them as you look ahead?
Defense. Addition by subtraction without Bo Pelini, so that helps. But, you know, you still got to get some of those talented recruits and some of those younger players that played meaningful snaps some confidence back, because after what happened last year, it's kind of – I find it hard to believe that the defensive players who are returning, the young players, are confident in what that defense is, because it was such a mess. So I think there's that. And then, you know, you got to score points. You know, defense doesn't win championships anymore. Offense does. So you got to get what you got from Miles Brennan for a full season. And if it's not Miles Brennan, if it's one of the other guys who filled in last year, particularly Johnson, you got to get that kind of performance. You have to be able to score 40, because Alabama is not going to lose a game. Alabama is not going to lose if they score less than 40. You got to have your LSU. You got to be able to get into a shootout, and I don't know if that offense can right now.
Interesting comments there about Barrett Sleeve. Barrett, let me ask you about Auburn. Expectations under Brian Harsin, what are they?
A functional offense that looks finely tuned. It doesn't necessarily have to be elite, but just something that's functional, that is not predictable, that is more than a glorified high school offense. And it sounds like that's exactly what they're doing. You know, if they go 8-4, that, you know, that probably will be a sufficient year one for Brian Harsin. They don't have offensive linemen. They obviously at quarterback, you know, Bo Nix is up and down, and you know, we'll see what happens. But I think it's kind of hard to trust him at this point. You know, and then I think outside of receiver, who's going to be your go-to guy? You know, there's not one. So I think they can be competitive and go 8-4 and not get blown out in those four losses. I think that's a good enough year one, because the player development wasn't there. The strength and conditioning wasn't there during the final couple of years of Gus Malzahn's tenure there. And really, the predictability of the offense was mind-boggling. You could sit in the press box and pick out every single play if you wanted to. And just as long as it functions well, then I think that's a good start.
And finally, Florida. You could do a 30-for-30 on the bizarre nature of last year, the good, the bad, and the absolute ugly. What about this year?
Florida, to me, is going to take a massive step back. Because it's not just Kyle Trask that's gone and Emory Jones being a different kind of quarterback. You lose three receivers. Your top three receivers, you lose the best tight end maybe they've ever had. Not maybe. The best tight end they've ever had. Todd Grantham is still there, which means the defense is going to be average at best, and that might be a compliment. You know, what's Florida going to be? I know Dan Mullen's made a name for himself. You know, finding ways to coordinate functional offenses with all kinds of different quarterbacks, and that's great, but they haven't recruited all that well, and they've got massive turnover. So are they going to be consistent offensively? Maybe not, and that's not a good enough answer when you're going to give up 35 points a game, which is something I think Florida will do.
Barrett Sleeve, he never disappoints. He gives opinions, which is what we occasionally get from guests on this program. Barrett, always great to have you on. Come back soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
That was interesting. An honest, objective take on the upcoming season. Everybody's not going to be great. That's a new one on me. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back, and we appreciate all of you being here. We'll keep our eye on a number of games. Tennessee is just underway. Meanwhile, Ohio State down now by four. They were down by a touchdown a few minutes ago. Against Oral Roberts. Something tells me they will find their way back into this game, but we'll keep you updated in case you are just getting on board. Arkansas down early. Seems to be a trend of some of the top seeds. Down by as many as eight, I believe, ended up winning the game comfortably. And Florida was down the entire game, finally took the lead, had it wrapped up, had a chance to add to a three-point lead with three free throws in the final 10 seconds, missed all three. Guess what? Virginia Tech hit a three at the buzzer. Game went into overtime. Gators win by five. The most interesting part of the game, other than the Gators advancing, Coach Mike White sat Omar Payne, who about this time last year was ejected after the ugly incident with Fulkerson from Tennessee, who is not playing today and, according to the university, is inactive. We don't know how long that will be. I'm sure Rick Barnes will discuss it after the game. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And John, who's up next in Arkansas. Hey, John, thanks. Good afternoon.
Well, Paul, it is an honor to speak to you, sir.
Thank you.
Tried a thousand times and finally got through.
Well, wonderful.
You are a gentleman, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm 77 years old, retired, spent 40 years in play-by-play, radio, football, high school, and college. You have got to be one of the most respected gentlemen, and I mean that sincerely, in this business. You tell it like it is. You take all the calls, bad, short, in between. I've got a project for you, and I think you are the man to handle this.
Sure.
In this year of COVID, all the stuff that went on, we were able to have football and basketball. For a man that's hard of hearing at 77, it's a pain to sit and listen to the football games when somebody is sitting there with a button with fake piped-in crowd noise. If you remember back, NBC years and years and years ago put a football game on with no announcers, just a little bit
right.
of crowd noise and did it. You have the authority to talk to the networks, ESPN, all of them. They're great. But tell them the guy that's going to control the buttons, to turn the buttons down. People would like to hear the gentlemen and the ladies that are doing the play-by-play and the commentary. And with crowd noise up late, most of the time you just turn the TV off and watch it because the crowd noise is so high. And even when there's not even a good play, yay, a bunch of cheering them. That's your first project.
Okay.
I know you can accomplish that. The second one is these instant replays. You get five officials, six officials out there that are supposed to know what they're doing and watching the game from every angle, and they throw a flag, and immediately they start huddle, and the announcer says, the previous play is under further review. Well, further is the wrong word. They haven't reviewed the play yet, but they're going to further review it. I know you can handle both of those. You do a fantastic job.
Hey, John, before you go, allow me to ask you a question. I'm curious about how people end up doing what they do. How did you get into broadcasting?
Well, it started out real young when I was in high school. I was able to go down to the local boys club and get on the microphone. And now at bat number 21, the shortstop, Paul Feinbaum. And it just kind of led to one thing to another. I went to Louisiana Tech where Carl Malone, Terry Bradshaw, sure. A lot of greats came out of there. And I had the opportunity to do the public address while I was there. And then I did radio and television in Arkansas, and I loved every minute of it. And I just thank the good Lord that I was able to do it. Some great coaches, the great Maxie Lambright at Louisiana Tech,
oh, sure.
One of the finest gentlemen. Garland Gregory, All-American with the high school here in Arkansas. It was just, I wouldn't have traded it for anything in the world.
Well, John, one more question, because I have young people call me all the time, and it seems like they want to be play-by-play announcers. Having never done a game, what would you tell young people? Because I know some are watching and listening right now in terms of how to get started and how to get experience.
Well, yeah, I don't know where you would really start, Paul. When I was at Tech, I majored in broadcast journalism with a speech minor. But I think a lot of it, and you look at some of these people that are on network, you've got to be in the right place at the right time.
Sure.
You know, you could go to high schools and talk with the coaches and say, hey, you know, maybe when you're in high schools, or the athletic director, I'd like to do the public address announcing for the football games or for the baseball games. And you kind of get a feel of it there. And when a door opens somewhere, you've got to get it and go with it and be honest. Be honest with them. That's the main thing.
Well, thank you for that, because it is, you know, you and I, I'm sure, can laugh. You know, everyone wants to start on the primetime game on ESPN, but it's not that easy.
No. Yeah. Keep up the good work, Paul. You do a heck of a job, my man, and come to Arkansas and visit sometime.
I'd love to. John, it was my pleasure to visit with you, and thank you for getting in, for calling.
Thank you, sir. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks so much. Yeah. He's right. I covered a little Louisiana Tech when I was in Shreveport. It's an amazingly great athletic background there in that school. So that was going down memory lane. We'll continue with more of your calls at 855-242-7285. We'll update you on some of the other games. And Joe is up next. Hey, Joe, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Well, thank you very much.
Paul, I wanted to thank you for that absolute verbal beatdown you just put on Red Dog earlier. You know, this guy, bless his heart, Paul, he's been calling this program for years now, talking about Kirby Smart in Georgia, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And I think he's literally gone insane from Nick Saban living rent-free in his head for so long. I almost feel bad for the guy, you know. It's like he gets his hopes up, and he can just see that light at the end of the tunnel, and it just gets smashed by Bama every time. It's a great thing to see, really. You know, and I hear Barrett Salee on here a few minutes ago talking about Georgia's hashtag of unfinished business. And may I propose maybe another hashtag, maybe overhyped, hashtag overrated, hashtag same old bulldog. It's not going to happen this year. Paul, you're going to hear this all summer. All these talking heads are going to come on your program, and they're going to say how Georgia's loaded with talent, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. You know what I think is going to happen? I think Clemson's going to beat them in the first game of the season.
Well, it's certainly a high probability. But I don't mind fans being excited, but when I hear someone like him who has never been right about anything, I get a little tired of it.
Did he used to call in under his real name, and then he all of a sudden became Red Dog one day?
Yeah, there was some.
Is that not the case?
That is the case. I can't remember. He got into it with somebody on social media, and it may have been Squirrel. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he then started calling in under Red Dog. I mean, I found him to be amusing at first, but that doesn't last too long.
No, it really doesn't. As for the NCAA tournament, Paul, huge Bama fan. Hope we can get it done. You know, I'm just happy to be here. It's so fun to be excited about Alabama basketball again, and I'm so proud of the job that Nate Oates has done and this entire team. In this crazy year, what they've done, how they fought game in and game out. And I couldn't be more proud as an Alabama fan. And I just wanted to end with this, Paul. I haven't talked to you since the national championship game. But if you'll remember, going into the playoff, there was a lot of conversation about Texas A&M versus Ohio State. in that playoff spot and this and that, and Ohio State didn't play enough games. So the question I pose to you is, you know, we beat them both 52-24. So my question is, at the end of the day, did it really matter?
No, it did not.
That's all I got for today, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe. We will update you on all the games. Ohio State's still trying to get the lead against Oral Roberts with about 5 minutes to go. We'll update you on that. Nate Oates, who our guest just mentioned a minute ago, will join us at the top of the hour. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. The head coach of the Crimson Tide will join us here in a few minutes. Nate Oates live from Indianapolis. A lot of games are already in the books today. Arkansas and Florida both prevail. Ohio State being tested, but they finally regained the lead 61-60 against Oral Roberts. That is in Tulsa. And we will continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. I want to go back to something that we had here on the program last night. Jay Billis of ESPN opining on the NCAA basketball tournament and what's behind it.
It's pretty clear why we're doing it. I mean, I had a discussion with somebody the other day, a good friend, and we talked about, you know, sort of the idea about what the NCAA says about the they keep calling kids. They say the kids want to play, you know, as if the whole thing's driving from what kids want to do. And I said that, you know, other students love what they do every bit as much as an athlete loves what he or she does. And I said, what other person other than an athlete has a college or university put on an airplane for a university activity in the last year? And I think the answer is nobody. There's no other student that they put on an airplane to go do what they love to do. It's only athletes. And it's obvious why. It's for money.
Yeah, and listen, what Jay said there isn't earth-shattering. We all love college sports, but it's become a billion-dollar business. The NFL, we saw yesterday, is about $100-some-odd billion business. That's what this is all about. That doesn't take anything away from us caring. It just makes us roll our eyes a little bit more when the president of the NCAA comes out and talks about student-athletes. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Frederick is up next. Hey, Frederick. Frederick, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, man. Listen, first of all, in the morning, I listen to the Steve Harvey Morning Show when I go to work. When I come home, though, I have it on 97.7, listening to you on my way home.
Well, I tell you what, I'm honored that you would put us as a bookend to Steve Harvey. That's fantastic.
Yes, I'm excited, man. Wow. Well, this is my question. I came to visit Alabama in 2000. Okay, and I've been here ever since. I love it. Probably never leave here. When I was here, when I first came out here, there was a player named Darby that played on the Alabama squad. Do you remember him?
Well, what was his name again?
Darby.
Darby.
The running back, maybe?
Ken Darby?
Yes, I think so. I know his uncle, that's why.
Yeah, wasn't he a running back, if I remember correctly?
Yes, Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Did he ever go pro or anything?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find that out. He was a really good player. I mean, again, we're talking about a lot of years here, but I'll find out whatever happened to him.
Yes, sir. And my second question is, I lived out in Phoenix, Arizona, and I went to a high school named Trevor D. Brown High School. Shout out to the Trevor D. Brown, TGB.
Right.
I'm wondering, do you know of any athletes that went pro that came from that high school?
I mean, it's something I can probably easily look up, Frederick. I'll give it a shot during a break, but I am familiar with the area. I'm just not familiar with that high school.
What county?
Where in Alabama do you live?
I live out in Tony, Alabama.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm appreciative of you calling, and we'll see if we can get you some answers on those questions.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm just excited that, like, I had a hard time figuring out the phone number because I just couldn't hear it. Yeah, I think you might need to. You might want to think about maybe in your broadcasting, say the phone number more often because I finally was able to write it down today. I have my pen and paper ready this time on my way home.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I recommend people to do this. You may not call us today. You may not call us tomorrow, but you don't want to be sound like a salesman at 3 a.m. in the morning right now. You don't want to be caught in that jam when that moment arises. So write this number down and put it in your phone before you get home tonight. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. That was funny. Let's check in right now with Tom, who is up next. Hey, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Listen, this is Tom Pafford from Springville, Tennessee.
Sure.
What I'd like to know is what Tennessee has to do to return back to the upper echelon of college football and restore a winning tradition.
Well, I think I've said this for the last three coaches, but I'll say it again because I have the speech down pat. They need to be consistent. They need to allow the coach that is there, in this case Josh Heupel, to remain for more than 3 years and slowly build the foundation. Butch Jones was close. Jeremy Pruitt was never close, and I think Heupel has a chance just to it's like building a building. Just you make sure you have a good solid infrastructure. Don't cut corners. There's no rush. He's not going anywhere. He has the support. His boss has hired him twice now, so this is not somebody that is on a short leash before he even begins. Thank you for the call. Meanwhile, it looks like Ohio State is slowly pulling away from Oral Roberts. We've been watching that game all afternoon, but they have a 3-point lead now. We'll update you on that when we come back, as well as the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Nate Oates, right around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.